welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast from St. Louis. That's where I am, Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer, Jay Posner, sports editor of the Union Tribune, back in San Diego. Jay, Padres are 4-3. Manny Machado has a home run. What else has stood out to you through two series?
Machado's defense, Fernando Tatis Jr.'s spectacular defense. Starting pitching was good through the weekend against the Giants. And I thought, Eric Lauer was, it was weird the other night. He was throwing well, and then it kind of all fell apart. And then I think he had a good inning before he went out. Final numbers weren't great. Lucchesi has yet to allow a run. That's obviously good. The bullpen, mostly good. Stammen and Yates been good. Who else has been good? Wingenter's
been good. I would say Stock had one bad outing.
So I don't know. I they had a winning homestand. I think in the big picture, when it comes to this team and showing improvement, I think especially in April to have a winning homestand and being over 500, it's like, okay, you take what you can get at this point. And, there's too many years where they've started, 2-5 or whatever. And I thought yesterday from that standpoint, I don't want to call it a big win. It was the seventh game of the season, but I thought it was important from the standpoint of, you certainly don't want to get swept at home. The players obviously don't want that. I thought there was a segment of the fan base that feels like, they can't wait for something to go wrong, and getting swept by the Diamondbacks, might have unleashed something among those people. It's way too early. This is how early it is. I glanced. The Cardinals are 3-3. I didn't look at any. I won't say I didn't look at any numbers. I started to look at stats. I noticed that Colton Wong and Paul Goldschmidt are off to hot starts. I didn't look at anything else. I didn't look at their pitching stats. It's six. They're 3-3. It's six games. You can't read anything into anything at this point, is my feeling. Where are you on that?
Well, Jay, I want to address where you went with the segment of the fan base. And what it brings to mind is, yes, there are people that are waiting for it to fall apart. Maybe, in fact, everybody who follows the Padres is sort of waiting for that. And that's a well-earned reputation that the team has. And so, I think it's a great point you bring up that it's early. And it also makes me think how long it's going to take. Yes, there's the excitement, but it's this tenuous excitement. How long it's going to take for the Padres to prove to people that they are who they think they can be. The crowd drop off, and of course, it's the middle of the weekend. It's the Diamondbacks. No one wants to come and see ugly uniforms and a team that comes to town, 9-10 times a year. But it's going to take a while for it to be legit in so many ways. Look, the veteran players, look, the guys have been here. And I thought it was interesting a couple times when I talked to Manny Machado before the start of the season. Here's a guy who wasn't here, but it was clear in what he was saying that he had been talked to by coaches, by Eric Hosmer, that this team needed to figure out how to not go into deep slides, that it needed to not be so mercurial. And so, look, in the short term and maybe in the grand scheme, I think that Wednesday's victory was a big victory for the reason that you said.
Right. And I do think this team is going to have a losing streak of, 5, 6, 7 games at some point during the season. Just like they're probably gonna have a winning streak that long. So it's just so up and down, and we went through this last year when we, when we're doing this twice a week, and it's like, you're trying not to read too much into everything, but hey, we got to do this a couple times a week, so we got to talk about what happened. But I do think it's going to take quite a while before we know what kind of team this is. And even if, look, they could go 20-10 in the first 30 games, and I'm not going to say this team's going to the playoffs. I just don't think 30 games out of 162, you're just not going to learn about what this team is. We need to wait a couple months before we can really make any complete judgments about the team. Now, I'm sure we'll make judgments before then, and obviously other people out there will make judgments even sooner than that. But I think for what we've seen so far, I think you can make certain judgments, and I think one of them, like I mentioned, was the defense on the left side of the infield. That's fun to watch every day. You don't know what you're going to see. Machado has been outstanding for, 6 years at third base. Fernando Tatis Jr. just looks like the kind of guy that every time the ball's hit to that toward him, you're thinking he's going to do something spectacular. And to me, that's fun as a fan to watch, to just not know what's going to happen. And you may see something spectacular, which we've seen a couple times already out of him.
And then the not know what's going to happen is like this positive thing versus we kind of knew what was going to happen last year. The Tatis thing, it shows you this. Look, I think anyone who followed the team understood how much I respected Freddie Galvis last year. Maybe the steadiest shortstop in the league over the past several years, but not spectacular. As a matter of fact, his range, you know, and all the metrics, and it was clear, right? But and you see what a guy who can rob runs. Now, Fernando Tatis Jr., like all of these flashy, spectacular, incredibly gifted shortstops, is going to boot some balls that he probably shouldn't.
Of course, that's just the way it is.
But he's going to take away runs, and that's just that they'll take that all the time. And then
he's so athletic. The other thing, before you get away from Tatis, he's so athletic around the bag. He made that tag. He made the tag the other day, and even the other night, I think there was a tag at second base in the Arizona game that I went to. That was just like, God, he's got such skill, and it's exciting from a fan standpoint to see a guy who's 20 years old and really looks like he's going to be the real deal. And you know, he may not hit all that much this year. I don't have any idea. I mean, he's 20 years old. He's doing this for the first time. He's clearly got some ability. I mean, you saw the way the ball jumps off his bat at times. But I'm sure he's going to go through some times where he's 1-for-20 or something like that, and teams pound him on the inside, which they were trying to do, and he can't lay off, or he starts chasing away or whatever. But that's going to happen. It's like Machado hitting the home run yesterday. You knew eventually he was going to hit a home run. It was good to see him do it at Petco. And, you know, now they go on the road and 10 games basically against three against the Cardinals and then the same teams they just played.
Yeah. Tatis is the kind of guy, and this is why I always wondered, like, the Padres had like these legitimate reasons, right, that they would have kept him down at the start of the season. We've been over all those.
Right.
But there was always this thing of like, but you know, you've said, all of us have seen that are around the team, that he's the kind of guy who could handle failure. So you're right about that plate discipline and about a certain weakness, but he's also the kind of guy who can handle it and then adapt and get better at it. And so I don't think there's any worry there. The Machado thing is that he makes stuff look so easy.
Absolutely.
You know? Really.
Yeah.
Well, I'm questioning myself, wait a minute, should I be impressed by that play? Because just made it look like nonchalant.
No, it's very much like watching Arenado play. Who I think is still. I mean, if you were gonna, I haven't seen Machado play as much as I've seen Arenado play. So I guess at this point I'm more impressed with what I've seen from Arenado. But from what I've seen of Machado, he looks like he's, if anyone's in that neighborhood, he's at least around the corner. As opposed to blocks away, like most of the third basemen that are in the league. So
the Padres' third basemen last year were playing a different game.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
No,
that's
no. I gotta say this.
That's true.
Christian Villanueva got a lot better, but his weakness at the plate, and he wasn't going to be elite. But I just want to make sure I say that Christian Villanueva, he might be the guy who comes back from Japan and is an all-star. Anyway, I just put that in your pocket, Jay. Nick Margavichus makes his second start tomorrow. This is very interesting because I'm not sure how long Nick Margavichus will be around if he doesn't continue to pitch to the tune of one run and five or six innings every start out. Just because. Some of that will be the circumstances around the team, and I'm not saying they're going to yank this guy after one bad outing, but the sense I get is that it's kind of a trial basis, as a lot of guys are, and some of it will depend what's he doing while what is Logan Allen doing, what's he doing while what Cal Quantrill doing, both those guys down in AAA. The Cardinals don't hit lefties well, like they're just a bit above 100, and for some reason, I found that to be a tongue twister, a bit above 100 in the lefties that they face. They'll face also Matt Strom on Sunday with Chris Paddock in the middle. Padres will face Jack Flaherty on Friday, Michael Wacha on Saturday, and it'll be Strom going against Wainwright on Sunday. I think it's going to be really cool watching the starting pitchers, both sides.
Yeah, no, I would agree, and I think each game is sort of interesting in its own way about the starting pitching. And just seeing what the Padres have. I mean, Margavichus pitched really well for five innings the other night. I don't think anybody could have expected anything more than that from a kid who was, you know, pitched in A-ball last year. Chris Paddock was what we thought Chris Paddock would be on Sunday. The disappointment of the starting pitching so far was Matt Strom. On Monday, we both talked for all spring long about how much we liked Matt Strom. We were impressed with Matt Strom, and he went out Monday, and he was terrible. But it was one start out of what, you know, the Padres hope will be at least 25 from someone like Matt Strom. So I don't want to read anything into that. I saw too much of how good Strom can be last year to worry about one outing. And then they'll throw – we'll talk about this next week, but it's interesting. I was just thinking – they'll throw all three lefties then against San Francisco next week.
Oh, I better keep that in mind.
So there's an advantage of you know, those guys get to pitch in an extreme pitcher's park before, you know, the rotation sort of goes around again into the where Paddock will have to pitch in Arizona, where it's not so much a pitcher's park. But I just think each outing is really, really interesting to see how these guys perform in different environments. I mean, Margavičius is pitching tomorrow in front. I don't know what that stadium holds, 45,000 or something like that. You know, in the home opener, it's going to be quite an atmosphere for a kid. I would assume he's going to have some family there. You know, it's not a terribly long trip. His family came to San Diego. I'm sure they're going to go to St. Louis from Ohio and then see Chris Paddock pitch in that environment on Saturday. That's the kind of stuff I'm looking forward to seeing, is how these guys react in different situations.
Absolutely. Hey, I want to point out that Nick Margavičius pitched his final start in low A Fort Wayne on July 1st of last year.
That's
a single A.
Yeah.
That's when he was promoted to what they call single A, Lake Elsinore,
right.
Was after July 1st. That's incredible.
And that's why... Yeah, and it was interesting to read this piece that Jeff Sanders had online yesterday and in the paper today about guys like Mackenzie Gore and Luis Patino are talking about, hey, Margavičius and Paddock were in A-ball last year, and now they're in the big leagues. You know, maybe that can be me next year. Now, maybe it will, maybe it won't. I don't think that's going to be the path that the Padres want most of these young pitchers to take. But it's good to see that they're thinking that way, and that, you know, Mackenzie Gore was not happy with the way he pitched last year, and it looked like he pitched much better in Mexico. So that's going to be interesting to take the drive up the freeway, up the 15 at times this year, to see Mackenzie Gore pitch up there. I know that's a trip I definitely want to make, and I know I know Jeff Sanders is going to be there a few times to write about Gore and just his progress and everything. So that's going to be a good something else to keep an eye on.
Heck yeah. And you said, you know what? You talk to A.J. Preller, and you're talking about the Major League team, and he's around the Major League team a lot more. It's funny how the team's gotten better, and he needs to assess he's around the Major League team more. You can tell that already. But he, almost every conversation, oh, you should see this. Oh, you should see that. We're in Seattle. I'm talking to him about the team. He goes, you should have gone to Mexico City. That was incredible, like what Gore did there. I mean, it's like, and like, they're really excited, and I don't think they have any doubt that Gore, Patino, Baez, Morahone, think about that. I just named their four top pitchers. Well, Baez is not among the top four, but those, I just named their top three, Patino, Morahone, and Gore.
And Gore,
okay?
Right. Uh-huh.
Their top three pitching prospects, they will be in big league camp next year. There's no doubt that's what the Padres are planning. So, and that, if you're in big league camp, it's not Margavičius, Lauer,
right.
Lucchesi, they've shown, and those guys are supposedly aren't these guys, right?
No, and that's
Paddock,
right, and that's on top of Allen and Quantrill and, you know, Margavičius and the other guys. So I do think that it's, you know, we'll have to definitely keep an eye on the minors like we have for the past few years, but with a different perspective, knowing that there's already guys that are up here.
Yeah.
You know, that are doing well.
It's kind of fun, isn't it?
Yeah. So what else can we – what else – the Cardinals, Paul Goldschmidt, obviously.
I've been looking forward to this, Jay, since the schedule came out. I've been to, like I want to cover the Dodgers, and then, of course, last year. This is a great place to watch baseball. Really, everybody knows that follows the game. The fans are really good here. They generally show up in big numbers. It's all red, and they're very knowledgeable and very appreciative. And I've been here for a couple big moments where, you know, it's neat. And to know that Paul Goldschmidt will be making his first plate appearance tomorrow at the home opener. I've been looking forward to this. And he has four homers already. Of course, three were in one game. And since then, I believe he's for 16 with 7 Ks in the 4 games since then. Which, hey, whatever. We talked about it being early, but 3-1 game. Can't argue with 4 bombs in your first 6 games with a new team.
Right, right. No, that's that's interesting. And I was just sort of looking at their roster to see who else they had. Their two catchers are almost as old as you and I are. Yadi Molina and Matt Wieters. But the Padres, I guess, will miss Michaelis.
That's a shame. I like watching him pitch.
Yeah.
I like him. It's a shame.
Yeah, I it's always fun to watch games there. And, I mean, I joke a lot about the best fans in baseball and all that. But they are great fans. And I give them credit for, you have to give them credit for coming out every year in, year out. I think they've missed the playoffs
now. I'm going to get myself in trouble.
3 straight years
now? I'm going to get myself in trouble.
I think they've missed the playoffs 3 straight years, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's funny. You talk the Cardinal way, and there was this time where they were in the playoffs all the time, virtually every year, and they were making quite a few World Series appearances first part of this decade. They've obviously made a lot in their history, but you know what? They're always like this contender, right? They're buyers generally, and they're always right there, and they're in a tough division, and a lot of people had them winning the division this year in terms of the prediction. As I'm looking at this to see, okay, well, it's early, but let's see what's happening. The Cardinals have the second most strikeouts in the National League, all right? 72. And when you're saying strikeouts, who do you think? You think Padres.
Are striking out as hitters? Are you talking about hitters?
As hitters.
Oh, okay.
Striking out. Well, they're 17th. They've only struck out 56 times through 6 games. That's fewer than 10 times a game, which was like the benchmark last year.
It felt like about half those strikeouts came on Tuesday night against Greinke. Because I think he had 10 in a span of about 15 hitters in that game. But, look, you're going to have some ugly performances, and Greinke's, he's still a good pitcher, regardless of his opening day outing. And again, that is interesting that they're down in strikeouts. I mean, let's see where it is in a few weeks, but for now, you can definitely take advantage of the fact they're not ranked in the top 3 or 4, which is where we've seen them.
Again, through 6 games, I will tell you that I've seen different types of hitters. The first few games, maybe a little amped up. That's what Andy Green kind of attributed it to. But there have been a lot of better at bats in that season, especially a guy like Francy Cordero. Man, he seems to have improved by miles as a hitter. I know the numbers aren't fantastic right now, but honestly, Francy's having a very good season at the plate so far. And Fernando Reyes is what? What's he hitting? I don't know, but he's hitting the ball hard. And,
right.
And they're still so high on Fernando Reyes.
I do want to ask you, one of the things I did want to ask you before we run is that the outfield situation. Yesterday we saw that outfield that you wrote about during spring training where they went left to right with Renfro, Myers, and Reyes. Obviously not their best defensive outfield, but certainly you would think that's their best offensive outfield, especially against a left-handed starter. Do you think we're going to see more of that? I mean, it feels like Hunter Renfro's bat needs to be in the lineup. It feels like Reyes' bat needs to be in the lineup. We know Myers' bat needs to be in the lineup. That leaves Margot's glove out of the lineup. What do you think? Do you have any feel for whether we might see a little bit more of that?
Well, I don't have a feel that's based on, what things have been done yet, but based on the things you just said, as in facts, and then a few things that have been said, both overtly and you read between the lines, it's like, yeah, you know what? Margot needs to hit. And they can't keep bats out of the lineup. And when, that they believe that with Skip Schumacher, the outfield coach, they can make that outfield decent enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
And keep working at it defensively as long as the guys out there are giving you good at bats and producing runs. And so while they want to challenge Will Myers to be better in center field, and toward the end of spring, Andy said that experiment, we're not saying it's done, but we need to just see more. We're not comfortable with Will being in center a lot. Well, we got this, we got 7 games in and he was put in center because he's hitting and you can't keep Reyes. And you start Renfro after the 2 home runs and Reyes is hitting the ball 99 miles an hour on average, which is virtually impossible to sustain,
right?
But maybe he can. And you got to have these guys in the lineup. So yeah, Jay, I do think we'll see it there more. Now, Margot's had a couple big pinch hit at bats. You've got his glove. I mean, he's not entirely, you know, worthless, but, you know, he's not very good as a hitter in comparison to what these other guys do. I think it's a nice rotation. We didn't, like I mentioned Francie Cordero a couple, a couple minutes ago. If he keeps hitting, wow, it's quite the rotation. And I think we've seen some good defense. We've also seen some miscues that we need to keep an eye on, as in if you're constantly rotating and have constantly guys, you know, you got Cordero playing both corners, you got Renfro playing both corners, you got Myers playing all three positions, and they're all in there together
right.
At different times. You know, we got to keep an eye on how bad this defense is.
Yeah, no, I would agree. One final thing, how heavy is their pursuit of another starting pitcher at this point? And is it more likely to be someone that's not in baseball right now that used to pitch for the Astros? Or is it more likely to be someone that's on another roster and they might work a deal?
I think it's more likely to be a deal.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they are one of the teams that is like, you know, in, I don't know, daily, but in consistent contact with Scott Boras, agent for Dallas Keuchel. The price has to come down. And it's this weird thing like, well, I mean, if they're in contention, doesn't that mean that starting pitching is doing okay?
Exactly.
And,
right.
You know, and I wrote about it. Like, not only do you have those prospects we talked about, you've got the Nelson Lament coming up later this season, you know, late June, early July. You've got Garrett Richards supposed to be, you know, pitching. He'll be on an innings limit, but he's supposed to be, you know, near the top of the rotation next year. And you commit yourself to a guy like Dallas Keuchel. Well, what happens? Well, you know, I understand you're going to do that if you think that's the right thing to do, and you'll deal with the surplus, the supposed surplus later, right? These things have a way of taking care of themselves.
Right.
Okay, so then you want to trade a guy. All right, so you trade one of your outfielders. Well, was it? If you ended up getting yourself a decent starting pitcher, you traded an outfielder and probably a couple prospects. So the starting pitcher you get in return better be really good,
mm-hmm.
And help you win now. Otherwise, the Padres have a very realistic view of themselves, and they're not going to, you know, punt on the future to maybe have a chance now. I don't believe that. Now, every time that you pontificate about what the Padres may or may not do, then AJ Preller surprises you. But that is the vision that I am getting right now.
Okay, and as of now, you don't expect Matt Whistler to be stretched out at all. You think they're looking for him as a guy that can sort of do that two or three inning thing because of the innings limits on some of these other guys?
Certainly seems to be the focus for them is building their bullpen with that because of the situation with the inexperience and, you know, obviously the rehab sort of considerations with Paddock and Stram as they built get stronger after their injuries. That seems to be the focus. Now, it was mentioned by a couple people that, you know, Whistler has that ability and they'll see when he gets here what he looks like and that he could be, a consideration to, you know, be stretched out, but we'll see. Right now, it is, hey, cool. This guy's looked really good lately, and there's another option to go the two or three innings.
All right, Kevin. Well, I will leave you to the rain, and it actually rained just a little bit here today, so you missed out on that, but I'm sure it will be nicer here over the weekend, but it won't be as nice as it is in St. Louis because they'll be playing baseball there. So you'll have
playing baseball and more storms supposedly on Sunday. So hopefully get everything together or get everything done so that one of the road trips future in the summer isn't ruined by having to come back to steamy, hot St. Louis.
Yeah, you do not want to be there in the summer. April's a good time for that trip.
All right,
Kevin,
hopefully
enjoy
the
weekend, and we will talk to you on Monday from San Francisco.
Look forward to it.
All right. Thanks, everyone.